going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, sit down on the triage and join us for another episode of WTF Prime Time! This is Vangelis, and I am joined today once again by and with 4-2, it is Gog Dog.
Hi!
Hello.
Hi, it's unusual for us to record on a Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, I got preoccupied yesterday trying to purchase an air conditioner. It happens. My fault. I'm sorry.
It doesn't happen here because they all come built in.
So that's true.
It's a little foreign to me.
Yeah, but they're heavy, cool. Man. They're friggin' heavy. And trying to install them, there should be people paid to do that. I'd have paid a dude $30 to do that.
I'm sure there probably are, but it probably would have cost you more than $30.
That's true. I just realized.
At a zero, might get close.
Hey, it's Aaron.
Yeah.
$300. I probably wouldn't have done that.
You can do like old renters did and just duct tape it up to the outside wall.
I use packing tape. It's like duct tape.
A little bit classier. It's clear. You don't see it until you get up close.
That's right.
Or leaves hit it.
Well, it's packing. It's all taped on the inside. I still have to go outside and make sure. Jacob told me it looks solid from the outside, but I'm paranoid.
What's Jacob do for a living?
He works at a video store and writes movies.
Okay, yeah, that probably gives him the go-ahead on structural stability of AC units hanging out of a window.
Well, he told me it didn't look like someone could kick it. That's all I got.
Okay.
Hey, guys, this is a Focus podcast, so we probably made someone mad already. We should talk about Transformers Prime, because we're here to talk about Triage. I want to say part three in the four-part simulcast episode structure, which had a few more neat deliveries this week. I kind of like how it's like they're taking a different sort of twist on the every episode's happening at the same time approach at the end of all of these. I kind of dig that. And or beginning of some of these. But Triage was all about Wheeljack and Ratchet and Soundwave. So we were all talking about Soundwave last week, so spoiler alert, Soundwave did not reveal anything beneath the visor, nor did he talk this episode. However, I still ended up being satisfied with his appearance due to several factors. It wasn't like the most satisfying, but it was enough to make me go like, all right, I dug that. I feel like I know a touch more about him. But I want to talk to you guys about Soundwave. Gog, you have been keeping a close eye on Soundwave in the show, and you are the one who has brought up his like lack of activity throughout the series. So how did you feel about an episode where he was technically the focus antagonist?
Yeah, it was funny because when we saw his alt mode for the first time, like, oh yeah, I got a toy of that. Have we seen that beyond the pilot? When he did the whole snapshot of Miko and then just flew away? Like, I don't remember seeing... I mean, I'm sure like 50 people are going to come and be like, no, we saw it in this episode, but I don't, like, it hasn't happened so much to where I can't even remember the last time that we saw it, if it has happened since then.
Yeah.
But, it was, I almost wonder if it's that lack of activity from Soundwave and then the anticipation for when he's actually going to do something isn't clouding my judgment a bit, but either way, like, yeah, Soundwave is awesome, and I still think he's underused, and I was really happy to see him get the spotlight. I enjoy how they're not really making him break character. Like, no matter what he does is creepy.
Yeah.
Like, he's, when he just flies and lands at the rock and he's scanning it and he just takes his claws out and starts digging, like, it's just slow, methodical, and really, really creepy.
His body language is perfect.
Yeah. We had been spoiled a little bit on the whole, like, him dancing around Wheeljack swords and stuff, but he's great. And I really hope that he gets used more than once or twice a season going forward. And I have a feeling, given some of the foreshadowing at the end of the episode that we'll get into later, that it looks like that's going to happen one way or another. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't getting my hopes up. I didn't think that anything was really going to happen as far as any big reveals with Soundwave, but it almost kind of foreshadows something might, but yeah. Even then, that's probably reading too much into it, and I'm not going to go down that path because it's just going to end in disappointment. But yeah, I don't really know much to say. I mean, we got Laserbeak got named.
Yeah, we got it. We finally got a name drop and a kind of confirmation of identity on Laserbeak.
Yeah,
it was referred to as it, which I thought
and,
was neat.
And a drone. It, so
and I, a drone.
I,
yeah,
yeah. So I don't. It's I don't really think Laserbeak is a sentient transformer, and it almost feels like the name drop was just kind of there because well it was on the toy, so let's go ahead and name it. But it's not like it's not really an individual. It's just kind of like this computerized dog.
It seemed to kind of have a bit of autonomy, but mostly at best it was like not like a creature.
Right. But not even to the degree that like the sound like the animal tapes had where they're kind of like the whole like in G1, like what was it? The Call of the Prime, what is it?
Call of the Primitives.
Call of the Primitives, where they kind of established that there's a level of transformer that's not really as sentient as the rest, but they can still, but they're still sentient living creatures.
Yeah.
And I mean, basically, and not by any accident, kind of equating them to animals where like you have like the transformer that turns into the cat or it turns into a bat. And while it's not human or regular transformer level sentient, it's still a living creature that can think and act on its own and has its own instincts. And this seemed to be even more of a downstep from that, where it's more of just like an android that is capable of autonomy, but isn't really alive.
Yeah.
That was the way I looked at it.
Aaron, what about you? How'd you take Soundwave this episode?
I really liked, and it's something that, has been mocked a little bit, calling him a ninja or whatever, but it continues in kind of the thing that I think is creepy and also cool about Soundwave, of the fact that when he's fighting against Wheeljack, you know, Wheeljack's coming at him with swords, Soundwave is doing like the calculated exact minimum evasion required to keep out of reach until he finally gets grappled and headbutted.
It's like cyber Aikido.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, what do I need to do? Boop, that's it. Boop, that's it. You know, when he's doing the sidestep slip stuff. Mm. And there are a lot of people in the Prime form that were like, oh, it's just law of ninja, what a coolness or whatever, and posting links to TV tropes or whatever. But I
love that you're a mod there so you can give us his insight. This is so wonderful.
Real fun. But as Twitter's talking about other stuff on the forum. But it really plays with the fact that they're playing him as, you know, do exactly what needs done when it needs done. Like when the ship had been taken over by the Dark Energon and Megatron says, you know, shut this thing down no matter the cost. Soundwave's not like, what am I going to do? It's what is the most likely effort to result thing. Oh, it's going to be plugging into the ship to shut it down. Oh, wait a second, that gets me fried. But it was just boom, boom, boom. This is what you got to do. And so it's really cool to see that continue to be played in fighting style. It's not like he becomes some wushu ninja doing the super arm motion hand pose. Come here. It's just like, okay, we're going to fight. Waiting on you.
And there's no style to it either. It's all logical and calculated. Like half of his fighting, he just like stands there as the tentacles do stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I really loved. And like, when he is, as you said, when he is like parrying stuff or blocking attacks or stuff like that, he's not doing any kind of like stylish, like identifiable style aside from like, you almost can see him calculating the velocity of each incoming blow and going like, what's the exact position I need to assume?
That's where I'd almost like to see like the inside Soundwave's head of.
Oh, we got some of that in this episode, which I kind of dug.
Yeah, but of like during the sword fight where you see like incoming, you know, just a split second of you see Wheeljack come back and just see like probability numbers flying off for the sidestep.
The fight scenes in the Sherlock Holmes movies with RDJ.
Yes, something kind of like that.
That would be kind of cool. Like not narrated, but just like text all over the screen as is like as we see things
random
in sound
Cybertronian
waves
stuff flipping off and
yeah
and just do 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 and then see like motion on face and then see him do whatever the like the shoulder slip to get past that first sword swing and it's a case of with fighting style you can sit here and show that you know this is a fighting style that makes sense and that is what to me seems like a really good expansion on the character in something super simple of just a fighting style.
I also like how Soundwave's attempt to quickly end the fight is to pin down Wheeljack and attempt to lobotomize him.
Yeah, yeah.
That was fantastic.
That's gonna end it.
That was...
No bravado, just I'm gonna take your head off.
Not even take your head off. I'm gonna bore a hole through your forehead until you stop moving. Like, I love how like, it's just so horrific but clinically logical.
Yeah.
That whole thing was great. Or even Soundwave body language. Like, I read into body language, but I was getting character like moments out of Soundwave in this episode just by the way he was acting when he thought he was by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what I think that was one of the biggest subtle reveals of this episode was we got to see what Soundwave is like when no one is around, and there were some really cool moments like when he touched down to collect Laserbeak. I really loved how he was moving in that. Like he kind of walks over, he kind of looks at Laserbeak for a few seconds. Goes, picks up Laserbeak, attaches him back into his chest, and then he like stops, turns back around, and goes and finds that tiny little piece that fell off. Half transforms his chest to put it back inside, retransforms the chest, and then takes off. I was like, just those little moments. Like, I love the fact that that's what he does when he's by himself. Just this creepy, like, oh, I left a piece behind. I'd better pick it up.
Right.
And like with again the minimal amount of movement to do so. It's that whole scene when Ratchet was behind the rock. For some reason spoke to me a whole bunch about Soundwave, as not like as a fleshed out character, but just as a behavioral study in what this dude is like when he's by himself.
Well, and then it also shows again, just the cold calculus of everything where he potentially had Wheeljack dead to rights, but then it was, oh, Laserbeak's back online. And again, math, what's more important, taking out this guy that I've knocked on his butt and could take care of again, or going and getting my sneaky eyes and ears that's much more useful in the damaged state. Oh, that's going to be it.
And then if you really want to read
just
like anything into it, I felt there was a neat little bit of open-endedness to it of like the fact that Soundwave like prioritized Laserbeak over like granted he had the relic attached to him, but that out of the way, like he prioritized recovering the Laserbeak drone.
Right.
Over anything else. And because there's no face, and because he had those moments of silence when he was, like, looking at it, or, like, when he was collecting Laserbeak, you sit there going, like, is it just a tool to him, or is he, like, attached to the thing? Like, does he really want it back? Is he possibly upset at the idea of losing that drone? Like,
right.
I'm sitting there, and I mean, I don't expect answers to all this stuff, and I'm not going to be upset if I don't get them, but I like that the way Soundwave is delivered allows you to sit there and just, like, just wonder what he's thinking. Which was, I thought, really neatly followed up with by having those few moments of his POV when he looks around and seeing that the dude just sees raw data, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
And I like how they confirmed it when, post-visor crack, there was a huge
was
crack across his face.
Yeah.
He's still just walking around doing his thing. And also, I really liked his relationship with Megatron, which we finally got to see. Like, we finally got to see what Megatron is like when he's just talking to Soundwave. And he totally just, he expounds at length to Soundwave, who says nothing in response. And then Megatron's all like, be sure to fix his faceplates and knock out. And I'm like, man!
Yeah.
There was just, like, they were all tiny, tiny, tiny details. But to me, those were, like, keystones of character world building.
There even seemed to be, like, a level of affection from Megatron towards Soundwave because
he's a buddy.
As we learned at the end of last season, like Soundwave was like his first follower. He's the most loyal, and as we've discussed previously too, he has a place in the chain of command or a place of power outside of the chain of command. Like, he doesn't hold a rank. He's not... Megatron is now on his third lieutenant. And they all of them identify themselves as Megatron's second in command. But when things go awry and they want to make a power play, Soundwave steps in and his authority is absolute.
Yeah.
And you're not, right. And if you are going to stand up to him, you're probably not going to survive.
And
then once things are kosher again, he steps aside and things go back to normal.
And who else has Megatron ever gave a flying crap about as far as like, go fix his faceplate, by the way. Like that faceplate technically could stay cracked forever and it would make no difference. But Megatron specifically is like, out of affection. It's just like this, this weird friendship. He's just like, make sure you fix his faceplate. That's my bro.
Well, have you ever seen a cracked smartphone screen? How annoying it is to try and see through that. And if that's the only way Soundwave talks, I mean,
it would be annoying.
It's not like we don't have a robot that can't talk in the
I felt satisfied with Soundwave this episode, and I think that is saying a pretty good compliment, given that he neither spoke nor had a large physical reveal. And I also want to say that all you third-party guys making weapons and faces, I'll give you an easy one. You guys have not done it right until you have made me some little clip-on tentacles for Soundwave. Because I think as of this episode, those things are pretty clutch to his silhouette and to his... his whole character.
And the sound it makes when they retract are just creepy.
I know.
It was really odd. They definitely put some effort into it to maintain this creepy. Everything about Soundwave has to be subtly creepy.
This whole episode felt like a mass catharsis for everyone involved. Like they finally got to have their Soundwave episode.
Well, it is a Marty episode.
Really?
Yeah.
The one time I don't look, man. Holy, that's great. That is great. Okay, thank you, Marty. You're still doing a good job. Just in case you needed the reassurance, which you don't. Fantastic. Let's move on then. Gog, have you got another point you'd like to bring up?
We covered. I think we actually covered most of the big stuff already because it was pretty straightforward actually. But I guess the next in line would be the whole turducken and the virus.
Where did the turducken line come from?
That was amazing. I don't know, but
it's like a turducken, huh?
Yeah,
that's like Ratchet said. He's like, what? But no, like that was a pretty good idea. Like it justified not killing off Soundwave. I mean, for good reason. It keeps the plot moving forward with the whole relic business, I guess. But, I thought it was a genius idea. It was great. I love the interaction. I love how Wheeljack just wanted to do his whole trick of uses one grenade and how Ratchet came up with a better plan and still incorporated that. But
yeah.
One problem I had is apparently Raph can just create viruses that are just generic viruses that can just be translated into Cybertronian script and still work on the Nemesis.
As soon as he did that, I sat there going like, I bet that this is rubbing Gog the wrong way. It rubbed me the wrong way, but I know that you had a problem with the former occurrence of Raph's like super hacking.
It didn't, and like, you know, I love Marty to death, but I think he could have handled, like, okay, how I would have done it, and I'm not, you know, it's easy to say stuff like this, and I'm not the person that likes to do stuff like that, but what Ratchet could have done has been like, well, he already had some sort of base level programmed virus already there, and he needed Raph's help, and because Raph is smart, he could figure out how to make some modifications to it based on instructions Ratchet gave and then quickly uploaded it before it was too late because nobody else in the base could have done something like that. But just have Raph kind of craft this virus from scratch, like it's like... That's not how viruses work.
The way they described it was like there were bits in there that felt like they were trying to, they were smoothing it out slightly. Like there were two main things. One of them was, it wasn't so much a direct hack Soundwave virus so much as it was like a container virus.
Yeah.
And then
just, he was just the Trojan for it.
Yeah. And then the other thing being that whole thing of, by the way, my device will translate it into Cybertronian, which those two things really helped like not make it as though Raph had literally just figured out how to hack Soundwave. They didn't fully cover for the thing in the sense of it was still like, I don't know if I can do this, but I know someone who can. And then Raph's just sitting there and I'm like, oh, it's him. He's going to do that thing again.
Because they were doing such a good job of not using Raph's super hacking skills. They kind of introduced and then almost regretted and have not used again since like the beginning of the first season. And it's just like, okay, like I'm glad that that whole thing disappeared and I was really disappointed that all of a sudden it came back because I was like, I hope that maybe they're trying to retcon that out, like in a soft retcon. Like, let's just kind of forget about that.
Well, at least they're not almost, hanging a lot on it.
Yeah, like almost it's like Autobots flying in G1. Like in the opening miniseries, everybody could just fly through the air like Superman.
Yeah,
and then they kind of decided they didn't want to do that anymore. And yeah, it's a little silly, and you could explain it away. Various theories, but like I was kind of hoping that's the road they were going with Raph and his hacking skills, but oh well. But other than that, I mean, it didn't ruin the episode for me because I thought this was a fairly decent episode. Mostly just because of like I've always said, the strong part of Prime, I think, isn't the plot, but it's the characters. So being able to give Soundwave his own showcase episode was it was done fairly well, so and I don't think that little bit ruined it for me by any means, but I was actually happy to see that the plan kind of succeeded because I was when they did the whole virus thing and then they were opening it up and then they do the scene in the Autobot base where it's like it's working and Ratchet's like, yeah, you're a genius, and then it shows the same screen in the Decepticon base and Megatron just kind of sitting there laughing. And I thought it was going to end with Megatron like, oh, they think they have me, but we're going to upload some crap to them and it's going to be, ah, ha, ha. So the fact that it actually ended with the Decepticons none the wiser, I was pleasantly surprised by that because I thought they were going to try to turn it again like, oh, ho, ho.
I was dead certain that that plan wasn't going to work. And I actually felt very satisfied that it did because so often does it feel like the trope is that the most obvious happy ending of a plan is what will not be done for the sake of a hope of surprising the audience? And I like that they just kind of ran with it and
I agree.
Used it to push it ahead.
Yeah.
Although, the one way that I would have accepted that thing not working is if Raph is sitting there and Ratchet's there like, yeah, it's working. Then Soundwave's face just appears on their monitor looking at them. Like just for like about 2 seconds and then flips off and all of their computers shut down. That would have made me pretty happy, but I'm happier with how things went. It
plays right to Ratchet's whole thing of Prime would rather we lose one and get the opportunity to get all of them than fight for the one. So it falls in line with what was setting up as soon as, Ratchet had that line. I figured what was going to happen was just that of, you know, yeah, we're going to fight and lose this relic, but we're going to get the N on all the others.
Mm-hmm. And also we got that scene that I really enjoyed of the whole grenade thing and Knockout freaking out while Megatron just sits there going, ah, ha, ha, clever Knockout, deal with the grenade. Just like running screaming down the hallway as Megatron is just ignoring the entire situation. I thought that was some really lovely like comedy without being blunt comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It was character driven comedy and I enjoyed it a lot. I love the idea of a villain who's so maniacal that he sees a live grenade in front of him and he just kind of crosses his arms and goes like, ha, that old trick. Well played. Like that reaction was beautiful. Let's move along to you, Aaron. Have you got a point you'd like to bring up?
Yes, I'll go with Wheeljack.
Yeah.
And I actually am liking him more as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Because just the little bits of him going from being I guess he still has the Wrecker's attitude of, I'm going to find whatever and punch it in the face as hard as I can. But he did have the whole, you know, when he meets up with Ratchet, he's like, oh, okay, Doc. And, you know, Ratchet has his, no, I'm not, you know, don't call me Doc. Okay, Sunshine. So it, you know, the whole, I'm going to come up with a nickname for you. And, you know, even when he's, you know, down and out, calling him Doc, and then, you know, Ratchet flipping out. And then just the kind of conclusion to all that at the end of calling him Ratchet. And it was one of those things where it was like Ratchet realized, okay, maybe he's not such a jerk. You know, he's just got his own way of doing things.
I like how that was also all done over the shoulder.
Yeah.
When Ratchet turned away, that's when Wheeljack said Ratchet. And then Ratchet responded by just glancing and he didn't turn back. I love that.
Yeah.
I also love Wheeljack. Like when Ratchet gives him when Ratchet does the cheesy thing of the big, like, I was wrong about you and everything. Wheeljack's like, yep.
Yep. And just taking apart panels and, but yeah, if this episode had dropped before Hall of Fame stuff, I think I would have been more, enthusiastic about how the Hall of Fame fan vote went.
Really, Aaron? Really?
Before, all we had was Dude Has Swords. This time, he at least gets some characterization. He gets some interaction.
I'm going to say that this episode helps me appreciate Prime Wheeljack more, but...
Yeah.
Overall, it's still a
weak fill, but...
I still can't give a Hall of Fame nomination and then win to a character who is driven by three episodes of content. Yeah. I can't do that yet. I love this Wheeljack iteration so far.
Yeah, a couple more episodes might have gotten,
if he had,
gotten
if
it
he
feeling
had
like it was a really good one.
If he had six episodes of good content, I would have been like, the nomination is okay. But
yeah,
it just feels like it's crutching so much on so few, I don't know. And I say this as someone who really likes Prime Soundwave. But then again, also when I talk about the Hall of Fame, like... I treat it like fantasy football in that it doesn't matter. Oh, I went there with all the fantasy football people. Sorry about that.
But I really had good moments and realized that he is a brawler fighter dude, and that's always the way that it is. But even then, it was like, okay, well, Ratchet needs some time. I'm going to buy him the time, and you know, maybe I can get the objective as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that at it that. Aspect of the character. I'm not quite sure how at the same time I feel about him peeling off to attack Laserbeak rather than go after the main objective, but he probably had the right idea that Laserbeak would have continued to take pot shots at the jackhammer, even though...
Well, Laserbeak is also challenging his manhood as a pilot.
Yeah, that might have been
that was the main driving point, honestly.
Because Laserbeak gets shot down, and then with a wild shot is finally the golden BB that takes down the jackhammer.
I was a little bit not entirely into the whole... Like I was sitting there trying to figure out how that one shot was able to blow out an entire engine in the jackhammer, but
yeah,
I realized not a single shot had connected that entire dogfight, so maybe...
Well, no, they had been, because it was rocking the ship.
Oh, okay.
Because they were sitting there bouncing a little bit and dealing with that, so...
Small for something to cause such a huge amount of damage.
But. Yeah, my thought is it was the golden BB. It just was the right bullet at just the right spot with the engine already partially damaged or whatever. Maybe if, as that had happened, there were, like, klaxons going on in the background as Wheeljack standing up doing his ha-ha, I got you dance.
Mm-hmm.
Which surely is a great way to pilot a spacecraft, to be standing up and pointing a finger at a view screen. But... if there had been klaxons going off and then that last hit got in, it wouldn't feel quite like, oh no, they needed to get on the ground and this is how they do it.
I also really appreciated that they managed to make me buy and completely buy into what was like, maybe this wasn't the intention, but with the Jackhammer's toy finally hitting shelves in the UK and probably hitting shelves up here pretty soon, it's kind of like, by the way, just in case you guys forgot, this is the spaceship Cyberverse toy.
Yep.
But they did it in a really cool way.
Yeah.
So I was quite all right with that.
We just need to see the whatever wing fold out gimmick that the base has.
Yeah. Before I continue on, I wanted to tangent briefly. There was one other Soundwave thing I forgot to mention that I really liked, which was when he caught Wheeljack's sword. Instead of just like standing there and preparing and knowing what to do with it, he literally looked it over as though it was a specimen.
Yeah.
Like he was calculating its mass, its shape, its aerodynamicity, to make up a word, like everything about it. It felt like he was racking up a small data pad full of notes on the sword in like a split second before throwing it. And I thought that was wonderful. Yeah, I mean, my next talking point was actually going to be asking you guys how you felt about the dogfight, because
actually staged really well.
I thought it was really well done, but I also wish it was about a minute or two shorter. I'm not going to lie. It overstayed its welcome, I think, just enough to make me go like, come on, I want to see the rest of the cool stuff.
I didn't mind the length of it so much as it was just a bunch of dudes... It was more of the way it ended, I think. And this is not a major problem with it by any means. It was just a minor, like, oh, okay. But like the issue I had is like they're like, especially at the end when him and the Jackhammer and Laserbeak are just flying towards each other in a straight line, and nothing's hitting anything, and then. He does kind of like the loop-de-loop, gets behind Laserbeak and finally hits it. He's like, yeah, we hit it. And then Laserbeak fires off two or three pot shots. And then out of all the billions of rounds Laserbeak shot, it's that one as it's falling through the sky smoking that takes the jackhammer down. I was like, I think it could have played out maybe a little more interesting. But it wasn't a bad scene. I thought it was cool. The clouds were great. Like, it was... The cinematics were good. I really liked the part where they focus on Wheeljack's face while he's piloting it, and you get that camera, like the virtual camera shake.
I love the controls for that ship too.
But it all seemed very it was very well choreographed. Like the cinematography and the virtual cinematography on it and everything was really well done.
Absolutely.
But it was just kind of the thing at the end where it was just the whole, like, he finally hits Laserbeak, and then Laserbeak just, as he's falling, just doo-doo, boo, and it's like, you just shot like a billion rounds and didn't get a hit. And then it's like the one as you're falling out of the sky burning, just shooting in random directions, and you take out the entire ship. But
my one thought about that was the sheer number of missed shots. I was sitting there going like, so what's the rate of dissipation on those laser rounds? Because, like, if they're flying over any kind of populated airspace, like, I can only imagine, like you know, 10 miles away out of nowhere, this gigantic hail of laser gunfire just, like, careening through the air.
Just takes out a factory.
Which is, it's one of those weird things I always think about in shows like Prime where they make a big deal about, you know, consequences of actions and trying to maintain cover. I kind of sit there going, like... Especially with the dogfight, I was like, what exactly happened to all those shots that missed? Like, where did they go? What did they hit? Did they hit anything? Like, is Fowler, like, scrambling to try to cover for this, like, series of sudden airplane crashes as all these passenger liners and test flights were gunned down out of the air by blue flashes of light? That's also just the kind of stuff I think about, so I'm not holding it really against it. But it was nice to see that spaceship in action. It was really nice to see Soundwave and Laserbeak in combat action. I felt pretty good about that. We going into this, we'd already discussed a whole lot of the dogfight, so I guess I'll just pass the torch over to Gog Dog once again for another topic.
How about that scene at the end? I love the scene at the end. Where everybody kind of converges, and you get Megatron berating Dreadwing, and then you get Knockout rushing in, like, he's like, well, because he's like, at least we still have two more relics. And I was like, oh, really? And I was like, and then Knockout walked in, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I keep forgetting that, like, some of this stuff is not necessarily happening in order. So, in chronological order, with the scenes we've seen. So, then we see... We see Knockout come in, and he's like, Knockout does not even care about the relic. He's just like, can you believe what the Autobots did to me?
That was so good. I was wondering, like, how they were going to play that.
And then Megatron's just utter, complete lack of giving a crap. Like,
right.
Where's the relic, Knockout? I don't care if your face is bruised and scraped and all that. And then... Yeah, and like, makes you wonder too what that what's up with that foreshadowing at the end where Megatron is just continuously praising Soundwave and you just have Knockout just staring him down like ugh.
Yeah.
So
well, okay, I think that like, was more dig at Knockout just for not getting his relic and then well, I mean yes, the additional of thing of hey but, go but, fix up Soundwave.
Yeah, I know, but he but the whole thing is he kept playing up Soundwave, and then you get the scene of just Knockout just staring at Soundwave, and I have a feeling that there's going to be something happen between these two characters.
I think the thing it felt like it was a final dig to kind of like just that. I think that's what led to that final moment was just that whole thing of Knockout, who's scraped beyond repair, just completely busted up. The like who cares about his looks above all else? And Megatron's like, make sure you get Soundwave a new faceplate. And Knockout's just like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Get him under my knife. I'm going to cut his brain out. Like, I do want to see if they... I will be a little disappointed if that look at the end does not lead to something. Because we need a payoff on Knockout now.
Yeah.
He's been pushed.
I can't... And again, Megatron... I don't know if he's actually ever... Like, we've heard... People refer to Knockout as his skills and stuff like that, is implying his medical background. But Megatron straight up called him doctor in this episode.
Yeah,
like he's like attend to sound waves, whatever, doctor. And I was like, oh okay, like that's because that's a title that they've kind of danced around when it comes to Knockout. But this is the first time, at least that I've caught, that Megatron straight up gave him like that medical title. So.
And his arms micron release is called Medic Knockout.
Oh, cool. I didn't notice that.
It's something I picked up on those new picture drops. There was something on, I think Breakdown is called like War Breakdown. I need to take a look again.
Another interesting thing from that scene, too, is you have where Knockout kind of reacts angrily towards his Megatron not being pleased with his failure. Like Dreadwing just hangs his head. Like it's, I don't know. It's nothing amazing, and it's stuff you could expect from the characters. But
it's a cool moment though, like to animate that shame that he had.
Yeah,
yeah,
nicely done.
Yeah, like it wasn't him being like, he was legitimately like, I have failed. I'm so depressed.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Hmm. I agree with you. I like that. That was a good moment. Now I'm trying to find those pictures. Aaron, what about you? Have you got another talking point you'd like to bring up?
A quick thing that I kind of noticed that was interesting is how it lines up that Soundwave gets the sonic weapon.
Yeah.
As, you know, and it seems like it's the thing that goes ahead and fits on his arm. It didn't have some sort of weird handle. It just has a notch in it that conveniently goes on the skinny little arm.
That, again, looks like the kind of thing that almost felt like, hey, guys, why don't you make that in plastic so I can stick it on to Soundwave's arm?
Yeah, I'd buy a neat little weapons pack for Prime, the same thing type of thing that they did for Animated.
I was a little bit disappointed that it didn't get... I thought they were going to call it that thing that Bruticus has in Fall of Cybertron, like the Sonic Pain Wave.
Yeah.
And then they called it something else.
Resonance Blaster?
Yeah. And then Megatron had this great line. What was it? Like for maximum sonic pain or something like that. I can't remember his line anymore. He had a very blurb on the front of a toy package line about it, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah. But I definitely thought that was neat. And otherwise, it was just the device that they're going after. And it turns out to be a weapon that Soundwave is immediately able to use.
Yeah.
And fits with his name theme.
Okay, just a quick update. Arms Micron releases are called Medic Knockout and War Breakdown.
I am a war.
That's right.
Yep.
And that's in their full names. So that's like, for some reason, they couldn't just call them Breakdown and Knockout in Japan. They had to put War and Medic. And yeah, I remember now, when I saw Breakdowns, I was sitting there trying to figure out what it said, because I was like, Wob? What's that supposed to mean? I was like, oh, wait. War Breakdown. And I was like, War Breakdown. Okay. Unless war is supposed to mean something else. He has
maybe it's like,
in
maybe
front
it's
of
like
his
whoa,
name.
Breakdown.
Whoa, breakdown. Yeah. Anyway. I've rather sufficiently distracted myself with this line of thought. But that bit at the end, I think, was a great example of the of an, another great place to take simultaneous broadcast idea, and a great way to end it as well. Because that was that was the last best cliffhanger they could come up with, which is Kevin Michael Richardson is getting too much work, so Bulkhead is dead. We don't know if he's dead. But
don't start death rumor things, okay?
Oh wait, you're in that forum. I forgot.
Yeah, yeah. Every character has a death rumor thread.
But I mean, how Kevin Michael
including,
Richardson?
Including, I think June Darby had one a little while back.
Kevin Michael Richardson is in so much stuff. I mean, maybe they're just sick of him being so successful. They're like, hey, guess what? You're dead in prime.
Yeah. Shove off.
go be Kilowog.
How else are we supposed to get Magnus in here now that he has a toy? So must obviously be in the TV show.
That's right. You liking your time in the Prime Forum?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Doing good.
But no, it made me very, it was great because it made me, again, excited to see next week's episode. And I, not that I dislike Bulkhead or anything, but I was less excited about next week's episode than I was for this week's, because I was like, well, it's Bulkhead doing a thing, but then they do that. And I'm like, what happens to Bulkhead? And then of course we got the preview, but
yeah,
I'm now, I think that was a great way to top off that four-parter to have a final to be continued.
Well, who is left to go against Bulkhead from the Decepticons?
Oh, did you see the preview yet?
Yes.
Okay.
But I didn't see the preview.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to spoil the preview for Toxicity or whatever.
Bah.
Oh, wait. I thought I saw the preview. I can't remember now. I probably saw it and forgot about it.
I'm about to say it, so turn this off now if you don't want to hear this. Bulkhead is attacked by a named Insecticon called Hardshell.
Yeah. Hardshell. Yeah. I did see that.
Which is Bombshell. That is what Bombshell is now.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah. And I'm excited about that. I mean, in part because I just got the third-party Fans Project Insecticon Ninjas. I got the other two I didn't have yet, so I'm kind of on a kick with those guys. And Hardshell just had a Fall of Cybertron reveal. And it's at this point when I'm sitting there going, like, Hardshell is an awful name. I can't. Hearing Frank Welker say Hardshell, the name just doesn't work for me. And I like the word hard. I think there should be more Transformers with, like, I invented a Transformer that I want to continue designing called Hard Convoy. But
hard, so did I.
Hard, yeah. Well, you have Hard Saurus, which is like the grandfather of Hard Convoy. And I think it's just the thing of, like, Bombshell is awesome, but Hardshell is not so much awesome. And I wish they could have... I'd have been cool with Bomb Blast or Blast Shell or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, all that nitpicky, persnickety pickering aside, I am very, very interested to see how that goes, because that means they are taking the Insecticons to another level and another fan-wanky level. Which also makes me think that if we get an Insecticon toy, it is probably going to be called Hardshell.
Or at least that's the repaint, since there's one hard shell versus a bajillion.
But that way they can sell just one toy, and then everyone will army build hard shell anyway, and then they'll put out an Insecticon version, which everyone will re-army build. And Transformers Prime, bring an army build into mainstream Transformers collecting since 2011.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we got that new case revision.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Yep.
Two Viacons to a case means the world makes more sense.
Also, let me do just an informal poll here of everybody sitting here who pre-ordered a case at Big Bad.
Yep.
I did.
Mm-hmm. I did. I'm not entirely sure if I'm going to keep it, but at the very least, I wanted to get my pre-order in.
I'm
going to
see the timing. I'm going to see the timing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of had to happen. and you know what? I was thinking about this when I was watching Prime this week specifically, and a little bit last week. I really like that I'm watching Prime, and a majority of the characters on screen, I'm going, oh, I want a toy of him. Oh, wait, I have a toy of him. Like, a lot of the cast is out now. Like, there are gaps, but a majority of the major and recurring cast are easily attainable in some fashion.
Well, every single character has a toy out right now, right? Except Insecticons. And Arachnid.
Yeah.
But she's coming soon. But we've seen, at the very least, we've... Oh, and Breakdown's out. Legion.
If Arachnid drops in July, We're going to have proper toys for Arachnid and Breakdown next month, by July.
There's nobody that we haven't seen a toy for, right?
Not yet. Except for the Insecticon.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And
if makeshift.
If they
you just buy a second wheeljack.
Yeah. If they do not make an Insecticon for whatever reason, I think I'll be kind of okay with just subbing in the Fall of Cybertron kickback. Like, it's not perfect, but it's got that monstrous look to it.
Yeah, especially if you take the whatever weapon pack thing off of his back.
Exactly. So I feel confident that I'm not going to... So far, I don't feel like I have any major gaps. And I mean, they're doing Unicron, so even that's happening.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot about him.
In Japan, anyway.
Technically, he's a character.
Yeah, I really like the just kind of the toy closure we have so far. We're not sitting there hoping that the lion survives another wave so we get a toy of this guy. Like, we're locked in right now. And it feels good. I mean, even though some of the toys are not as good as some of the other toys, at least all the toys are happening. Is the main thing. I forgot where we're in the order now. I completely lost track. I should write this down more often.
Just go to Aaron. He's always got something to say.
Yeah.
Aaron, I actually didn't have a list of stuff for this week, so I don't have my... surprise, we didn't mention that we still miss things. I've been playing Diablo.
You've been playing Diablo 3?
I've already destroyed one mouse doing this. I'm on my second mouse of Diablo.
Can't you get a better mouse?
There's a whole lot of clicking. Any mouse is eventually going to give up.
There are mice with like rapid fire functions built in. Anyway, I don't want to go on this tangent quite yet because I suspect we're going to be talking about Diablo 3 in numbered episodes of another kind. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's really stuck out to me in this episode. Animation wise, we covered a lot of it already. I mean, the Soundwave stuff was gorgeous.
I can go back and make comment on the last episode how the not Mexican standoff, but the High Noon standoff, because Mexican standoff, you have guns out.
I had no idea there was an actual science behind all that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I thought it was everybody standing around ready to shoot each other in the face. But anyway.
Here's how much I care. Listen. There you go.
Okay. Did go back and watch it on the big screen HD, and yes, it did make a difference. So
it did. Okay, good. Because I thought it would. I felt like a lot of the frames of those animations would not translate in SD.
Yeah.
And so did you kick your roommates out to go watch it?
No, they were
like, this is for the podcast!
They were gone for a 3-day weekend, and soon they're going to be gone for a 5-day weekend, so.
Ah, okay.
I'll sit around in pajama pants and a wife beater and watch all the TV I want.
I'm going to carry candy bars in my pockets.
Yeah, no. Oh. Still wouldn't do that. Okay. That's gross.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm racking my head to see if there's anything. I mean, we really did cover a lot of the animation stuff really well. I loved that shot of Wheeljack and Soundwave in front of the setting sun. That felt very stylish as that ambulance goes right past my window. Thanks so much. Thanks a whole lot, GM fan. Bet that was you. Yeah, the stylishness of those shots, and also I finally kind of understand the cracks on Wheeljack's face. For some reason, it took until this episode for me to not see them as like old man mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now I kind of see what they are, and I dig it. Also,
just old headbutt wounds.
That's right. Oh, I loved Soundwave's reaction to the headbutt. Like, it was the first time we've seen Soundwave really lose his. The coolness of his movements, because he just got friggin' nutted in the face. That part I actually really enjoyed as well. But
he got what now?
Nutted in the face.
Uh-huh, okay.
Nutted in the face by Wheeljack. Soundwave X Wheeljack. The title of my fiction is Nutted in the Face. Check it out on DeviantArt.
Huh? Keep it on DeviantArt.
I do it for Aaron, because Aaron's our new inside man. He knows all the in-jokes. Say, hey, Aaron, okay, let me ask you. How have the public been reacting to this episode?
It seems that the people that are the type that watch it to see Transformers are enjoying it. The people mm-hmm. that are watching it to see who's going to die next were upset because nobody died this time. It overall pretty good.
Okay, cool. I just want to take advantage of this, you know, like we've never had a man on the inside before. And,
I'm glad I can help. No, not really.
You look glad on Twitter. You look so glad. Huh? Twitter? What's that? Nothing.
Huh?
Some fake called Axsmith on Twitter, but that's not you. Yeah, I think I've run out of major points I really want to talk about. So rather than spend all this time searching for new points to discuss, how about we cap it there and say that we've got one more episode to finish off this foursome, and then I'm assuming we've got a finale afterwards. I'm assuming. No, I haven't actually checked. I'm sure I really easily could.
How many episodes are we in now to season 2?
I've lost track. That was episode 14 of season 2.
And episode 40 overall?
And so we this is a full 26 episode season, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right. We've got a while to go.
Yeah, we still got...
Never mind.
12 more episodes. So.
This feels like the setup to a finale, but I'm happy if it's not.
Well, it is kind of a 4-episode set.
Yeah.
So we have had 3 kind of building because all of the other looks into what's been going on haven't been to other episodes. It's been to the final episode.
Yeah.
The Go Get 'em Soldier, I forget what was last episode's crossover moment. Didn't Prime have a line in the last episode?
Now I can't remember because I'm on the spot.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting me on the spot, Aaron.
You're welcome.
I am looking forward to seeing how this ends, and now that I'm realizing that we've actually got like another like what 9 or 10 episodes after that, I'm still ready for more. I'm like Prime hits some slow burns now and then, but speaking for myself, I've remained pretty much like regularly entertained by it in one way or another. I'm ready for more. We'll have more prime time for you once we have more material to discuss. Thank you, Gog Dog and Aaron, for joining me once again. And until we get nutted in the face one more time, either, you know, like lined up like seals or just one big one and hitting us at the same time, we are Prime out.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.